Welcome to the podcast Game Changers with Jeff Newkirk, formerly known as Understandable Solutions. I'm your host, Jeff Newkirk. Today we have Carrie Ray Munson from Under Summer. So I am so proud to have Carrie with us today because she is the owner of the business that sponsors the Understandable Solutions podcast. So, you know, without Carrie, I don't know where it'd be going right now. So, Carrie, thank you so much for coming here, and thank you for being my sponsor.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So, tell us, you know, usually I will read now the, you know, the Under Summer's an outstanding DNA. Tell us a little bit about both products.
Sure thing. So, Under Summer's is the company I started 11 years ago, and it is a solution-based product, the Under Summer Shortlet, and it's designed to stop the very uncomfortable, topic of thigh chafing for women.
I have to chime in.
Yeah.
When I'm reading, you know, how great Under Summer's, of course, I have no personal experience with that. Just want to make that clear. But when I start talking about thigh chafing, that's where people start, you know, like, Jeff, did you just... Are you talking about women's underwear?
Well, they may be thinking that, but they're probably thinking, what is he talking about if they don't know what it is? But women who have it know what thigh chafing is.
And I've been told it's very important.
Yes, and the reality is men also have this problem.
We don't like to talk about it, though.
But nobody likes to talk about it. It's just, you know, it's one of those hush-hush topics that nobody wants to talk about. But 11 years ago, I needed the product for me, and there was no products on the market that were designed for thigh chafing. There were a lot of products that I could wear that sort of worked for thigh chafing, but there was nothing specifically designed that wasn't going to ride out my legs, that was going to have no chafing in between my thighs. And I also wanted to be pretty. I didn't want something that was just a bulky bike short. That's a common mm-hmm. solution women wear.
And you were a teacher at the time, right?
I was a speech pathologist. I was... Yeah. Working in the schools, and I had no plans to start a company. I had no plans to start sewing, even. I didn't know how to sew. I learned on YouTube. But
you can learn everything on YouTube.
You can absolutely learn anything on YouTube.
Yeah. Somebody told me that you can even figure out how to fix a washing machine on YouTube.
That is very true. I did that yesterday. I literally learn everything on YouTube, whether it's marketing or, you know, how to do accounting or how to sew and make a pattern. YouTube is my friend. Mm-hmm. So I started the company for me, you know, solution-based products. That's the best way that, you know, those are the best products. And, you know, I started sewing myself and, you know, in my garage, and then it took over the whole floor of the house. And then it took over, you know, basically my whole house. And then I moved into a small office, and now I'm in a big warehouse. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't the only woman who needed a product like mine and wanted something pretty, not just functional. Now, mm-hmm. you know, I've gone through the whole product development curve, the entrepreneurship curve, and I have lots of competition on the market, but the reality of them are they're all a tube of fabric with legs cut in. There's no thought involved. So
tube of fabric with legs cut in.
That's what they are.
That does not sound appealing.
It's not pretty. Might be sort of functional, but that's not what I was going for when I created the shortlet. Right. I really wanted something that was beautiful and I would be proud to wear, not just trying to solve a problem. I wanted to be proud to wear it and let it show.
Of course.
And that's what I've created.
Awesome. And you've been in business for over 10 years.
Over 10 years,
which says a lot. You know, 80% of all small businesses close within a couple years.
I know the stats. Yeah.
You made it through COVID.
Barely, but we did. No. COVID was definitely hard for the company.
Yeah.
But
now you're just jamming. Right?
It's, you know, this, I'd like to say we're totally jamming, but.
You're very humble. Your business is going good, right?
Business is good. There's been a lot of challenges with marketing and continuing to grow in the past year and a half with all the changes of Facebook and, you know, tracking customers. And those changes, while great for our theoretically for our privacy, the reality is they've hit small businesses really, really hard because we can't be as efficient at targeting potential customers. We can't find customers as easy because we can't track, you know,
you gotta
target.
Do more like the fishnet thing as opposed to just being specific.
Right. But fortunately, the world knows how to circumvent all of those things. And, you know, it's basically coming down to now we have independent companies that we can use to help us find those customers that want to see our ads. They want to learn about our products and potentially be our customers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been tough, and finding those right partners to help us has been a challenge, but, you know, I do see the light.
Yeah.
You know, but if there wasn't people out there trying to make this more cost efficient for us, it would be very, very difficult to grow in this market.
Really? So is it hard when we were talking about how difficult it is to get somebody to help you with that? I was thinking of trust. So for me, I would be hesitant to put my business in the hands of somebody that is supposed to help me with the marketing and the target marketing because of trust. Is that just me or?
Oh, you are absolutely right. Because in a e-commerce retail setting, our biggest part of our budget is marketing. And so I'm putting my trust in someone else to manage the biggest part, the biggest spend of my company. And that is how I generate revenue. They're my sales team too.
Right.
So yes, there takes an incredible amount of trust, and I have to trust myself too. In the decisions I'm making, the direction I'm taking the team, and
but if you make a mistake, we all make mistakes. But if you make a mistake, it's on you, right? I mean, you can live with that. If somebody is being unscrupulous with what they're trying, what they've told you, I don't know. I have to really know this group well to put my business in their hands.
It all comes down to me regardless, because I'm the leader of the team.
Oh, you're right.
So, you know.
Spoken like a true leader.
Thank you. No, it really does all come down to me, because if I don't know what to watch, if I'm not watching things carefully, if I'm not, communicating enough, it all falls on me. Mm-hmm. I can't blame my team, because I'm the leader. Mm-hmm. I just don't even think about it that way, but it is hard to find people that can do all the things I need them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just in one little area of marketing and advertising.
It's right.
I'm doing literally everything. So finding the people to help me do all of those things has been difficult. And what I've really realized is I am the chief
marketing everything officer.
I am. But I
at work and at home.
That's right. But I put on the marketing hat most.
Yeah.
So
because you have to.
Because I have to. Because that is my sales team, and it is how I generate all my revenue.
So good segue to the new product, Outstanding DNA, of which I can talk personally. These are the most awesome skivvies. So tell us about how did you come up with Outstanding DNA?
So Outstanding DNA was developed because Under Summers is just purely a woman's product. And the reality of my life is I spend most of my time with men. And I have boys and brothers and, you know, a husband and a father. And
yeah, we need a little attention over here, right?
Yeah, and they've asked me for many, many years, where are my underwear? And then in 2020, my husband and I opened a nonprofit for veterans. And, you know, I can't remember the percentage of women veterans, but it's majority men. Mm-hmm. And most of the the veterans that we serve are men. And so I thought, you know, it's a little weird for me to use Under Summers to fundraise for, not for veterans, that's not weird, but considering it's mostly men that I'm serving. And so I decided to start Outstanding DNA, and it also, you know, was a way for me to diversify my company after COVID. So Outstanding DNA was born. I'm really great at designing underwear. You know, Outstanding DNA is underwear. So it's kind of a natural transition for us.
I'm not the kind of person that's going to talk about underwear normally, but I will say these are very comfortable. You know, whatever design you got going, they're comfortable underwear. So good job. Thank you.
You're very welcome. That's my mission. Super comfortable, doesn't shift around, keeps you from chafing. That's my goal.
Yeah, no, it works. So good job and thank you. Let's talk for a second about the nonprofit, because I feel very strongly about what you do, you and your husband, Jeff. And first of all, I want to thank you for what you're doing. And it's incredibly important. And I just want to support you guys in any possible way I can to keep this thing going. But tell us a little bit about it.
So FOBRAZER stands for Forward Operating Base Razor, Razor with an S. And on the battlefield, the Forward Operating Base is the safe zone where our men and women come to get out of the fight, per se. And that is what the FOB is for us. Razor is my husband, Jeff's best friend. They fought together in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're from the same hometown. And just best friends through and through. And I don't know if you all know, but 22 veterans die by suicide every day in the U.S., and that statistic is based on veterans who are being served by the VA, so that number is probably low because all the veterans who are not being served by the VA are not tracked in the number. But the suicide...
Truly an alarming number.
Truly alarming.
22
a day. And as we started FOBRAZER and started working in suicide prevention, we found that suicide is actually the number one cause of death in our adolescents in the U.S. So it's not just a veteran problem. It's truly a national problem.
And I've read that that has increased over the last couple of years.
I believe
it. Especially since the pandemic.
Yep. Mental health, you know, has become, it's there's more awareness, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So the suicide epidemic, you know, 22 veterans a day die by suicide. And my husband has lost more friends and colleagues to suicide than he did on the battlefield. Hmm. And almost 6 years ago, my husband was almost one of them. Mm-hmm. He's been on the podcast before and shared his story.
Love Jeff. Great. We had great discussion. And he is so passionate with so much energy.
Yes. And I'm the calm one in the house.
He needs a little calming influence.
He does, and that's me. So almost 6 years ago, he had a pistol in his mouth, and lucky for me and him, cup holder, his dog came in and put his cold nose on his cheek and stopped him. And what we know is that usually in those moments, there's something that will stop you. Mm-hmm. And so for my husband, it was cup holder. He stopped him.
How's Cup doing?
He's really old. He's 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's really grumpy, but he's still going.
Good.
Yep. So my husband decided to seek out help. And he reached for the phone and called his insurance company, and they sent him to rehab. He's an alcoholic, and which is really common. It's a, you know, risk factor for suicide when you're covering up your feelings with drugs and alcohol. So they sent him on to rehab, and he got help. And ultimately, a Korean War veteran helped him and showed him through mentorship how to live a different life and deal with PTSD and live with PTSD and and live a sober life. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Fabraiser is. It's a mentoring program, a peer support, lived shared experiences and sharing how to get past it. But while my husband was getting help, his fundraiser ended his life. Yeah. And he's a constant reminder of why we do this.
Mm-hmm. And Fabraiser is virtual now. I mean, you meet in person in Conroe, Texas. Mm-hmm. However, anybody, any veteran, first responder throughout the country can reach out. Correct?
That's right. That's right. We have a really strong virtual group that meets on Saturdays. We average about 17 to 20 mm-hmm. Veterans and first responders that join that group. And then we have two other in-person only meetings. So we're serving about 40 veterans a week, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, we started this 2 years ago last July, and you know, to serve that many people weekly it's just amazing.
Clearly a need.
Very much a need. And my husband, it is his gift. He trained Marines. Mm-hmm. He is gifted in speaking and sharing his story. Yeah. And they love him.
Fantastic storyteller.
And he's very honest and open and willing to talk about life, you know. Yeah. And he doesn't sugarcoat what's going on. And I think that he's well respected because of that.
Mm-hmm. So before we transition back to the business, how can people learn more about Fabraiser and get in touch?
So Fabraiser, you can learn more about us at fabraiser.org. And again, that's a razor with an S. You can, you know, donate on there, learn about us, learn about our board, learn about our mission. We also have a Facebook page, Instagram page, where we're fairly active. And then if you need help or you know somebody who needs help, our number is 281-573-7250. And you can reach out or text that number, and we will be sure to help. We also try to provide community resources. So if you need help with, you know, if the veteran needs help with, you know, VA stuff or housing or job or any of those things, we're well connected in the community, and mm-hmm. we'll do our best to help. But our main mission is peer support.
Yeah.
And then
and it's genuine. I mean, you guys are the real deal.
Yep, we really are. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we only help one person and that person is my husband, then it was worth it.
Yeah, but you've helped many.
That's true.
And thank you again. All right, so transitioning back to the business and making it through COVID, what did you do differently, or how did you make it through this crazy pandemic?
You know, we're not out of the water yet, you know?
You had to say that? We're not?
You're
killing me.
No, because, you know, the reality of supply chain and
you're right.
The changes.
You are right. I just hate that you're right. Because I want to be done with COVID.
I think we all do. But the reality is the world changes all the time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're
and
right.
This was just an escalated, crazy ride that we've been on and we continue to be on. You know, the price of everything has skyrocketed. Nobody wants to pay for anything, you know, mm-hmm. for good reason.
Yep.
You know, transportation costs, just everything costs more.
Mm-hmm.
And our pocketbooks are, you know, we don't want to spend. Mm-hmm. So it puts businesses like mine that are retail in a tough spot.
Very.
So, you know, it's been difficult. And then on top of it, you know, I touched on marketing is really changed. It has changed so dramatically in the past 2 years of how to reach new customers, how to be cost efficient, and to provide customers with what they want in that, you know, social media marketing mm-hmm. realm. It has changed dramatically, and sometimes I feel like I just am never gonna, I'm never gonna catch up with the changes.
The fact that you know that things have changed, I mean, you're ahead of the game. You know, I mean, you're right. Things have changed, but tell us how so in your experience.
So the way tracking works, mm-hmm. it really, that I can't really stress enough how much that affects small business. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to cost maybe $12 to acquire a new customer, and today it might cost me $40.
Used to cost you 12, mm-hmm. now it costs you 40.
Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
And so when people ask, why things cost so much? Well,
that's why.
That's partly why, because it costs a lot of money to find a new customer. And that inefficiency when we are unable to track, and I say track, we're not watching people. We're not watching, you know, anybody, you know?
You're not like, you're not tracking my phone right now.
No, no.
But you have to find out where your customers are coming from.
Yeah.
So you can reach out to others just like them.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And what kind of things they like. And because we don't want to bombard you with things you don't want to see either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that inefficiency, you know, I kind of feel like we went back 50 years when all that stuff happened.
Yeah.
But interestingly, the rumor has it that Apple is going to start their own platform. That's a rumor.
Okay.
I don't know if it's true or not.
Heard first here on the Understandable Solutions podcast. Apple is having a new platform.
It makes sense because they hold all the Apple data we have on our phones, right? Yeah. All our apps. And it's just like Google. Google holds all the data when it comes to Android. So
I think Apple and Google know everything about everybody.
Yeah, I think they do. Most. And or Apple's about to use that data.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Facebook lost their ability mm-hmm. to use the data that they had. Amazon still uses all the data. It's mm-hmm. all their data if you sell on Amazon. So I think that's kind of interesting. Google has changed the way they're tracking, and it's going to be cross-device, whereas before mm-hmm. it was only on your browser. And, you know, all of these things, as a very private person, mm-hmm. you know, and being in this world with data management and, you know, learning these things, you know, it doesn't scare me at all. And I'm a very, very private person.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I understand why people don't like to be tracked by code. And the other thing that we see happening is eventually that code's going to go away, and we're going to be tracked differently.
Well, okay.
I don't know what it is, but
that's sort of unsettling. Are we going to have like barcodes in our head?
I don't know what it looks like. I can't remember. I just did a training on it. But it does sound like the cookie code is going to go away, and there's going to be new methods.
Oh man. Now you're scaring everybody.
Oh, well,
but we just have to be ready for it.
You know, it doesn't scare me. And I, like I said, I'm a super private person.
Yeah.
So because I'm on the other end, I see what that is. And it's the data, it's not, I don't know anything
it's
about
just
you.
It's the way of doing business
now.
Yeah. And if you want to be successful, you got to get with the data program.
Yeah.
No pun intended. So what would you say would be maybe one or two do-overs that you'd want, like as you reflect back? I don't want to say a mistake, but maybe something that you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have done it that way.
I have a lot. There's a lot of things that I would do differently. I do not like getting locked into contracts with companies. And so that is something I would do differently.
Mm-hmm.
I really only like to work with companies that work month to month.
Okay. Can you give us an example without naming the company? I mean, if you want to name the company, it's fine. But
no, I mean, a lot of companies will like give you a deal if you, you know, sign your contract.
Okay. Yeah.
And it can hurt the bottom line if it doesn't work. And like in the example of media mm-hmm. production, you know, in literally within 6 months, it went from still pictures on content and social media was great and worked really effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And within 6 months, it went from that to videos are king to only user generated videos are king. And within 6 months, all of those changes happened.
That is a quick transition.
Very quick transition. And I felt like we were just swimming to keep up. And so that's an example of, you know, if I'm mm-hmm. locked into one of those.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Then I'm screwed. So right. that was definitely a learning experience. And during COVID, I mean, I don't think we're going to have these extreme things happen. Hopefully not.
Man, I hope not.
But, you know, you can't prepare for that. That kind of extreme.
I don't know how you could.
Change in the economy and the world and buying behavior and supply and literally everything.
So supply, you suggested that you're still challenged with some of the supply chain issues. Give us a for instance.
So I have too much inventory now. I'm like every apparel retailer right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we planned for growth this year. I think a lot of us planned for growth, and it's not happening. I think apparel retail is down about 23% this year. I'm no different.
That is a huge number.
Huge number. Yeah. Not as bad as COVID.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, that's a big number. And, so my supply, I'm good. I have plenty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a supply of customers who want to purchase, mm-hmm. you know, they want discount prices this year. And that's rough.
Yeah. So hopefully this will be behind us. We're going to see brighter future, much brighter. How do you see you're taking your business? What does it look like when you get to the next level? Have you sort of thought that through, and what do you see over the next year or two?
I think for Under Summers, the next level is really a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
All of the brands that have taken it to the next level, they have really full lines, you know, comprehensive apparel lines, mm-hmm. and they are publicly traded today.
And when that happens, so you're looking to maybe partner and go public somehow, some way, someday.
That would be the way to grow,
yeah.
to really grow.
Well, you're a visionary. Really, I mean, and that's one of the strengths and what it takes to remain in business. And you've done it for over 10 years, so kudos to you. When you take your many examples in the past, when business has taken it to the next level, and they partner with another organization, sometimes quality gets compromised. You know, whether they're cutting costs or whatever the case is. How are you going to make sure that my outstanding DNA skivvies are still going to be the same quality?
You know, I think that that happens when I stay involved and the values of my company are, you know, that's really important to me, that mm-hmm. the values of my company continue to shine. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, a company is not just a product. It's the community of people who work for me. It's the community of people that we serve. It's my customers. And we are there to help them solve problems, whether that be thigh chafing or a order issue or whatever that may mm-hmm. be. So
again, spoken like a true leader. Really.
So, you know, keeping those values alive mm-hmm. is what my company is.
Yeah. And so that's a good segue to my next question, and that's values. What are the values that you have for yourself and for your business? And have you ever been challenged with compromising those values?
I think one of the biggest values that I live by, my husband lives by, and what my company is to serve and give back. And, you know, when I started the company, it was a lot broader
mm-hmm.
value statement, and it's morphed and changed, but really it all comes down to how can I serve you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I make your life better?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's through my products again, or whether it's because I, you know, you know, responded to a sweet message you sent me, or, you know, shared my experience, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
So it's really simplified, and it's, I don't think you, when you're a small business owner, I don't think you can separate who you are as a person and your company.
No.
I think those values.
One and the same.
They are 100% one and the same. And yeah, so I lost my train of thought there.
Well, no. So you said serve, and it's interesting that you said that first, the first value, because that's definitely one of mine. And I think as a strong, to be a strong and effective leader, you have to have the mindset of serving. You are there to serve others, not for others to serve you. And when you really have that mindset of serving others, that's when you have a positive influence on other people, on your surroundings, on your community, because you're not in it for you. You're in it to add value to whoever you're working with, whoever you're engaged with, whatever the situation is. And when it's genuine, then you're not looking for anything in return. And all that stuff that's going to happen in return, like growth in sales and successful business, it's going to happen as an outcome of the true values that you have, like serving. And I think that's so important. So the fact that was your first value, I was like, wow, all right, awesome. We're on the same page. What other values?
You know, I really value honesty. So one of our values in our office and in our customer service team is, you know, we're always transparent and honest with our customers. You know, mm-hmm. if there's an issue with a product, there's an issue with the product. I mean, there's nothing, we're not trying to hide anything, mm-hmm. you know? And it just makes things easier if you're transparent and open. And,
cause then, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning and, he was also saying how important it is to always tell the truth, you know, just be honest. And for those people that aren't, then they always have to think about, well, what did I say at this point? What was the lie that I told? So I'm consistent with that lie. One lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie.
That's so true. Yeah. And when you're, you know, there's humility that comes with that, and you build more respect when you're honest and open. And you know, that's what mentorship is. That's what Fabraiser mm-hmm. is. It's being open and honest about your experiences so that somebody else can learn from it, and maybe they don't have to go through it too.
Yeah.
That's why I love mentorship. I love to, you know, help, you know, students. I've had interns, I've worked with MBA students. I love to share my experience with them honestly,
mm-hmm.
so that they can, you know, learn from me and learn from my experiences. We don't need to reinvent the wheel over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm kind of a simple person.
Well,
you know, I don't
pretty
have
successful simple person, but
I try not to overcomplicate things. So if I can live honestly and serve and give back, I think I'm doing pretty good.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we need more of that. How many times have you come across people that you just know are not genuine, and you wonder, like, what is their future going to hold for them when they're just trying to bamboozle everybody?
I just try to stay away from those people.
Good. Good move. Good move. So we talked a bit about Fabraiser. We talked about your business, taking it to the next level. You've had so many successes. How can people learn more about Under Summers and Outstanding DNA?
Under Summers is at undersummers.com. And, of course, we have every social media, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube. We're all Under Summers. Keep it simple. And Outstanding DNA is the same. So we're on all those platforms, our website. Sign up for our email list, and you can learn about, you know, specials and sales and new products, and just get to know me as an owner and about the company. Just our email list is a great way to do that. And, you know, you can always email our customer service team, and those messages, they do get to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can reach out to me there.
Awesome. And again, I'll just reiterate, I've got Got some outstanding DNA myself, and they are the most comfortable underwear I own. So thank you for everything you do. Thank you for what you do for the community, you and Jeff together. It's so important. Don't ever, ever stop. Okay?
We will not stop.
All right. Awesome. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in.